Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, about 5 minutes till afternoon, so we're in good shape here. It's a real joy to be here and to be with you and to be in the church that has welcomed my son, Daniel, while we were in Africa. We're talking to someone in the time between the services, and I said, yeah, it's nice to be on the same continent. And she said, wow, that's an interesting way to think about it. Sort of life we've led, but we're grateful for what God is doing and how he's leading us. Again, thank you for welcoming Daniel. If you love my son, you love me. So I really appreciate that so much. It's good to have Luke here too. Boy, it's just so much fun to be able to see your kids again, I tell you. So it's great. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And the passage that we're going to look at is really set in a warning to the Hebrews about falling away from the Lord. It's interesting, if you're familiar with the book of Hebrews, as you go through, every once in a while he stops and he warns and he exhorts and he encourages the Hebrews, who seem to be suffering some persecution and were in danger of turning back. So he warns them, don't do that. And so our passage the verse that we want to look at is set in this context. But I'm going to start in the middle. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to start with verse 7 and then read through verse 12. Verse 7, Hebrews 6, verse 7, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Father, we are your people, and we have just heard your word. Help us to receive it into your hearts through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we may respond in ways that honor you as we seek to serve you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you've heard, Jan and I have a very interesting ministry relationship. She works with missionary women in pastoral care, which means that her work is confidential. And she doesn't tell me who she's meeting with or what she has heard. So in the morning sometimes, what's your day like? Well, I have a 9 o'clock, I have a lunch, I have a 3 o'clock. That's about all I know. I know there are 5 coffee shops within our area that she can walk to. And so oftentimes she's off to do that. What's really funny is that sometimes the next day a lady will come up to me, oh, I had such a wonderful time with Jan yesterday. I said, I knew nothing about it. But you see, we want to keep it confidential, a safe place for those women. Then I work in child safety. I never tell her what reports I am working on, who's involved, or what I've heard. I don't tell the mission people where I'm going. Sometimes I told my leaders, I said, maybe I'll say I'm leaving for another country because I can't tell where I'm going and who I'm meeting with. And so our ministries, our work are hidden, they're confidential. Very few ever know what we have done. And this is sort of a behind the scenes, a hidden kind of thing that's really very important in both our types of ministry. In some sense, our ministries are like the sound and lighting people in a large auditorium or here in the sanctuary. They're doing their best work when we don't notice what they're doing. Many times in my safety work or Jan's pastoral care, people have no idea. They do not remember what we're doing. They may not even notice or see the impact of our efforts. But this morning, I wonder how many of us that are here are involved in some kind of hidden service. Maybe that we're involved in ministries here in the church that are mostly behind the scenes. This medical response intervention team, whatever you said, that's a hidden ministry. And we hope that we don't have to see it too often, right? But we're so glad that they're there, behind the scenes, ready to respond. It may be that we're in the children's ministry, Sunday school, child care, junior church. It may be maintenance or janitorial work or making sure that all of the literature that's out in the back there, you know, it's all up to date and it's filled and all the forms and everything. That's a lot of work, but it's behind the scenes. It may be visiting the shut-ins. It may be visiting those who are sick. Maybe going to the prisons to talk with the people that are there. Or serving at a crisis pregnancy center, as we heard about the fundraiser. And what about those who serve in hidden ways outside of the church? Last Sunday was Mother's Day. And there are myriads of ways that mothers work in areas of service to their family that are not noticed, often not even recognized. And what about the ministry of intercessory prayer? The world may never know what takes place in your time of prayer for others. It's a ministry that others will never see, but how important it is. I love how the Apostle Paul gives us a glimpse behind the scenes when he writes to the Colossians about Epaphras in Colossians 4:12, and he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured." Epaphras had a hidden ministry of wrestling in prayer for his fellow believers back home in Colossae. They didn't even know about it. They didn't know that he was undergirding them in prayer while he was far away in Rome. And I can just imagine when the church read this letter and they heard that their colleague, their brother in Christ was praying for them, I can imagine how encouraging that would have been. Oswald Chambers calls intercessory prayer a hidden ministry that brings forth fruit through which the Father is glorified. A hidden ministry that brings forth fruit through which the Father is glorified. And I think we could take that statement about intercessory prayer and apply it to all the other kinds of hidden ministries as well. They bring forth fruit that glorifies our Father. So there are unknown acts of service taking place all around us. And I don't even know what all is happening. And the reason why is because by the very nature they're hidden. You know, as the saying goes, we don't know what we don't know. And I think when it comes to ministry, that's often true. We don't know what we don't know. A lot of things are going on that are beyond our understanding or our knowledge. And so right at the beginning of this service, I want to say thank you for your hidden service to the Lord. It's so important. However, if we are honest, or at least if I am honest, we may confront the temptation to seek credit and recognition for the hidden service we're doing. I know for me, I want people to know what I'm doing, the good that I am doing. But I can't let them know. I need to be silent about what I do. My work and maybe yours is supposed to remain hidden. And to be honest, that can be very hard. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, puts his finger on this temptation to want recognition for what we're doing, for that unknown service. And he writes, "The flesh whines against service, but it screams against hidden service." The flesh whines against service, but screams against hidden service. But is our hidden service whatever it may be, really hidden? I believe it's not. And that's, I base that on this verse that we want to focus on this morning, Hebrews 6 and verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you helped his people and continue to help them. Now, as I said earlier, this verse is in the context of a warning about falling away from the Lord. However, the writer of Hebrews says that because of the evidence of their lives and their work for the Lord, he doesn't believe that they've turned away from him. And he makes that clear in verse 9. If you look there with me, verse 9, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. What are those things that accompany salvation? Well, it's the fruit of their lives. It's the fruit of the life. You notice it's not your works that achieve your salvation. You don't earn your salvation by good works, but your salvation is demonstrated by the works that are accompanied that experience. Our works flow out of our salvation experience as we serve God. So let's look at verse 10 in light of our service to the Lord, and especially in application to the topic of hidden service. First of all, I notice that this hidden service is a work of helping his people. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you have helped his people. Notice helping God's people is our work. The word for work comes from a root that means toil or an effort or an occupation, and implies the idea of hard work, of strenuous exertion in the fulfilling of our ministry. And if we're honest, hidden service can be very demanding physically and financially and emotionally. Spiritually, it can drain us. And yet, it is a way to help God's people in many different areas of life, and even of supporting others in their ministry for the Lord. There's a man in my home church. I grew up in Calvary Church in Lancaster, and he's a very successful businessman. And after he retired, he was looking for a way to serve the Lord and for ministry. And so he went to our missions pastor, and he asked if there was anything that he could do. And so they thought about it. And they said, well, we need someone to transport missionaries to and from the airport. Now, our church has a little over 90 missionaries, which means there's a lot of coming and going back and forth. And so he regularly drives to the airports in New York and Philadelphia and Washington and Baltimore and Harrisburg. And he does it with great joy. And it's such a blessing for us, but it's a behind-the-scenes ministry. And so just last week he was taking me early morning, and so I started talking to him about it and thanking him. And I said, it's a hidden ministry that you have. And he said, you know, I'm comfortable in my relationship with Jesus, so I don't need any recognition. I'm just happy to be part of your ministry and helping you in this way. And as I say, he does it with great joy. The other day, he picked me up at 3:30 in the morning, and he never complains when I say it's 3:30 or 4 o'clock. He never complains, but he picked me up at 3:30 in the morning, and I opened up the door, and he says, good morning, young fellow. Well, I'm not usually called young fellow, but that's okay. But he's always so joyful, happy to do it. Nothing is too much of a problem. And so he just wants to get me to my flight on time. And this is his work in helping God's people to spread the gospel. He reminds me of the man who was working at a mission station where other missionaries were involved in translating an unwritten language and unknown language. And so one of his jobs was to wash the dishes and the pots and pans in the dining room. And so he put a sign above his sink where he was working, Bible translation at work. I love that. It was hidden service, but service which freed up the translators to do their work. So if you're in that kind of supportive role, let me encourage you and thank you. It's important because what you are doing is helping to accomplish the plan of God in people's lives and around the world. So it's our work, but secondly, our hidden service of helping God's people is a way that we show our love for God. It's a way that we show our love for God. Notice that the writer says, "He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him." Isn't that interesting? Have you ever wondered how you show love to God? Do you think, well, maybe it's when I sing praises to him and I tell him that I love him when I sing these wonderful songs of worship? Well, that is a way. It's a good way. Or maybe you say, I love God when I read his word and I pray. Or when I obey him and his word, because the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, and that's true. That's a good way. Keeping God's commandments is a good way to show that we love him. Or maybe I show God how much I love him because I give him of my tithes and my offerings. Again, that's a good way. But in this verse, the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying that the way we show God we love him is by helping God's people. Serving God by serving his people is an echo of what Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 40. "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Often hidden service is service to the least of these. Those who work with children or in Sunday school, children's church, nursery are serving the least of these. Those who serve persons with disabilities or limitations of some sort are serving the least of these. The husband or wife who takes care of their spouse who has a disabling disease often serves in hiddenness, because no one really sees what's happening throughout each day. 3 or 4 years ago, as we were returning to Kenya, we met two dear friends in a restaurant for lunch, and the husband had just been diagnosed recently with Alzheimer's diseases. He was in the early stages, but when we saw him just a few months ago, he wasn't the same man we knew and loved. But his wife has been faithfully serving him. It's a hidden service. She takes care of him. It's hidden service as they remain mostly at home. Very few people know what she deals with and what she goes through. But she's a great example to me of a woman who made the vow to love her husband for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. And as she is showing love to him, she's showing her love for the Lord. Thirdly, we can say from this verse that our hidden service is a work that God will not forget. God will not forget this work. The writer says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. In other words, God will not take advantage of us in our service. As we faithfully, continually serve him, God will not just take it for granted, as it were. This is a generous recognition by God of our service to him. Nothing is overlooked. Nothing of a Christian's work goes unrecognized or unacknowledged by him. Others may forget because of the confidential nature of our work or the hidden nature of our ministry. Others may never, ever know of the service that we're doing. But God knows. God will not overlook. He will not forget what we have done. One old commentator says, "There is not a true prayer uttered, not a holy wish cherished, not a kind word spoken, not a deed of mercy performed, not a single Christian act in the service we daily seek to render to our Lord in public or in private, known of men or out of sight, but that he knows it, holds it before his mind, and graciously delights in it. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, in the words of the Apostle Paul, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's interesting to me that in the Sermon on the Mount, the hidden services of giving and prayer and fasting all come with the same comment from Jesus when he says, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. God sees what we do in secret, and he will reward you. And that's a promise that we see in many portions of Scripture. Even here in verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. This is God's grace. He will not forget, and he will reward. He will reward. And that leads me to say that because God will not forget our hidden service, we should be encouraged to continue on in it. And that is what the Hebrews were doing. We see this as the writer states at the end of verse 10, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That continuing on is such an important thing because sometimes we don't want to continue on, if we're honest. Sometimes it's hard, it's difficult. John Calvin comments on this when he writes, by saying that they had ministered and were still ministering, he commended their perseverance. That's an important word in hidden service. He commended their perseverance, which in this particular case was very necessary, for there is nothing to which we are more prone than to weariness in well-doing. It can be hard to continue in the hidden service. And maybe people don't recognize, people don't understand what we're doing. They don't appreciate it. It can be hard. And we need to persevere. We need to continue because we know that we're serving God, not men. And God sees, God knows, God understands. So we must continue in following the call that he's given to us in this particular stage of our life. And we go through different seasons of life. And so you may have a hidden ministry one time, and that may change, and God may have you do something else. Or you may have a public ministry sometime, and that may change. And now you can't continue in the public ministry, and God's given you a hidden ministry. But continue on, because God will not forget. He's not unjust. So my friends, what is your hidden ministry? What are you doing that is behind the scenes? Are you getting tired? Are you getting discouraged? Do you want to quit? Well, I hope that you'll be encouraged today. God knows. He cares. He will not forget what you are doing and what you have done. So let us take heart at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I love that. Let us do good to all people, but also especially the family of God. Therefore, let us offer up our ministry, whatever it is, an expression of love to God and for his people. Let us not become weary in our hidden service for his people, for we know that God will reward us for a faithful expression of love to him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this encouragement from your word. You know how we as human beings struggle sometimes when we are working in hidden ways and behind the scenes and for long periods of time sometimes. So give us the encouragement. Grant us the grace to continue and to persevere in hidden ways of service. And Lord, we know that one day, as we have faithfully served you and we stand before the throne, you will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And Lord, that's the desire of our hearts. And so as we come and we close today, we want to offer up to you these ministries that you have given to us, often hidden, maybe public, but we want to offer up these ministries to you as an act of worship and praise. And Lord, we want to say, as the psalmist said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us be the glory, but unto your great name." And we pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.